This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Well, I think that's a little bit of an understatement, actually, to say we've got the best racing experts in town. I think we've got two towns covered, both Sydney and Melbourne. Terrific racing over the weekend. Rain-affected track, quite obviously, at Rosehill Gardens, but still some great performances. While down in Melbourne, we had the running of the Memsey Stakes, an outstanding performance by Blackheart Bart. And we look forward to covering all those races, plus taking your calls on 13 53 53. Kick up on the SMS. That's the text messages. All you got to do is punch in 0419 767 272. 0419 767 272. Or call us on 13 53 53 on Punter's Postmortem. And our panel of esteem experts, headed by Ronnie Duffersey, Dean Lester, and Glenn Munsey. In fact, that is the panel. They'll all be listening. Good morning, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Another terrific meeting at Rosehill Gardens with the lead up, with the run to the Rose, to the Golden Rose, and looked a really high quality meeting in Melbourne as well. So plenty to dissect this morning.
I agree with you. It was fantastic viewing on the Saturday afternoon. Dean Lester, good morning to you.
Morning, TK.
Did you emerge victorious, mate?
I did.
Well done.
I did. No, it was quite a good day. So, no, it was great racing, as mentioned. Caulfield was terrific. Track was in great order and it was great watching the race.
I was getting excited on Thursday night, Friday morning, all the pots around for Blackheart Bart. I was only going to get $4 this thing, but I think common sense set in late there. It was off the map.
Yeah, it was off the map, and he duly saluted and... God bless Rising Romance getting into second. That was a nice result. She was way over the odds and ran a terrific race.
Yeah, a little bit specking late from 18s into 17s, but Rising Romance, terrific return there. We'll go through that. We're going to dissect all these big races along with Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au because he's been busy, Duff, just winding things in ever since Saturday.
He's always busy.
One-way traffic here. Hello, Glenn. Only joking, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much for your support, TK. At least we're on time today. Anyway, good morning to you, Duff. Good morning to Dino. I tell you what, punters, we do our best when we interview the trainers and everything like that, but the punters will be on the couch after the last two Saturdays. Allergic was 15 kilos overweight. 2 weeks ago, managed to get the chocolates, and Blackheart Bart hadn't done enough.
Well, there's only trainers and jockeys giving their honest opinions, and it's up to us to try and work that all out. Plus, they can't talk, Glenn.
No, they can't, TK. But
well, one could, but...
Wilbur. Wilbur. But, you know, I'm not potting them by any stretch of the imagination. Mm. That's their opinion.
Sure.
But, you know, when you've got a horse like Blackheart Bart, he's a totally new horse under Darren Weir than he was when he was from Western Australia. You know, now, Darren, it's only his second preparation, I think, or maybe his third preparation for Darren. He's probably still getting used to him. But if he's got a mile on him anyway... he can carry that sort of lack of condition or whatever into a race and still beat them.
Well, I think most people thought this was the race for Blackheart Bart. 15 wins now from 32 starts. Dino, 11 starts at 1,400 now for 6 wins. And we're talking Cox Plate. Now, King, we'll get your opinion here, which will be honest, so it doesn't have to be an honest opinion because it will be honest, Dino, I know. Mm-hmm. Darren Weir, when he was interviewed after the Memsies with Blackheart Bart, he said, you know, program-wise, well, normal one to the Cox Plate. The owners want to go to the Cox Plate.
Yep.
And I'm wondering whether Darren's thinking Cox Plate or it's actually the owners' wishes and he's just, well, he's quite obviously working for the owners.
Yeah, well, I think they've had great results out of him. And, look, he's got form in WA up to 2,100 metres, so okay. they're thinking that way. He'll go to the Maccabi Diva. He'll go then. I think he's going to the. He might back up in the Underwood and then the Caulfield Stakes into the Cox Plate. And why not? I mean, he's the probably as good a weight for age horse as there is down here. It's a different leap again to the internationals and of course Winx. But he's got his Group One on board already. And I've got to say, Darren was very nervous on Saturday before the race. What he said in the interviews was absolutely spot on. He was telling me he had one trial at Mortlake, and he said he was far from impressive, and he was a little bit worried in that regard. He said, but everything else was fine. But he didn't trial to expectations, and anyway, he raced to them on Saturday.
Well, let's deal with the Memsies if we can. We'll get the comments of the entire panel. But I did liken it earlier on this morning, Dino, to some of these stayers. It was like they were diving in for a 1,500 metre, but it turned out to be a 50 metre sprint.
Yeah, a few of them got out of their comfort zone pretty early.
So what did you, Blackheart Bart, obviously very, very good going forward.
Yeah, Blackheart Bart really good, and you'd think he would be a big chance of winning the Maccabi Diva, and then it'll get a bit tougher, but his run was great. Rising Romance, who ran second in the Maccabi last year, she ran well. She finally drew a good barrier. That was the key. I mean, so many of her runs, she's drawn wide and had to go a long way back and not get into the right spot. She got in the right spot. Mahuta ran third. That's him. I think that was grand final day for him at 1,400. He may back up in the Dardo this Saturday, and then he'll go back to 1,400 in the Rupert Clark. Tashby can win a handicap pretty soon. He might be a bit of a lightweight chance in a race like the Toorak. He ran well, and I think Palantino's he's going well, but he'll run the Blackheart Bart again in the Maccabi Diva, so that's the problem with him.
What about Tarzino?
Tarzino, more than adequate. Home in 11.50, ran the 10th best last 200 of the day. It just didn't show up because he was so far off the speed, and it was such a fast run race. And Prince of Penzance, he missed the start, and Harry Coffey kept getting runs along the inside. So his sectionals from about the 1,000 to about the 400 were very good, but it was a bit upside down, and he probably looked very dour the last bit. But he ran okay, mm-hmm. Prince of Penzance. Right. No problem with that. He should have just sat back and come with one run, though.
And I want to cover Sophia Rosa and Tally as well, if I can.
Sophia Rosa, she's a bit of a handful at the races. Doesn't make it easy on herself, but looked very light too. But I want to see her next couple of runs. And Tally, he just didn't look ready. He just very soft and drew wide, went back, and probably at the races to try and tighten him up. And the other one, the Alpine Eagle, I mean, he's a bit of a myth at the moment. He's got it's a bit more style over substance at the moment. He ran an even race again, but it's time that he really started to show something, because he's been in this upper bracket being talked about for about 18 months, and he's got a Group 2 win and a Group 1 placing to his credit, but it's time that he did a bit more.
Yeah, if you need any help with Sophia Rosa, the chief of the Sophia Rosa Fan Club and Personal Development Society is right.
Yes, I know.
Don't look at her. That's the advice.
Duff, what were your thoughts on the Memsies?
Well, look, I'm used to seeing a Memsie. You know, they go around three-quarter pace and it's a sprint home. We don't learn anything. But a few of those stays are just out on their feet there. They didn't get the trot and canter working gallop that they're used to. So he's just a good, tough horse, the winner, and he'll continue to be competitive all the way through. You know, the horses with the right runs got the job done. Rising Romance had a lot of breaks there, and she was very good. And look, as far as pulling one out from the back of the field, I can't, because it was one of those races where they just spread out, and the sprinting types kept running like your Blackheart Bart 14-miler sort of a horse.
Here's an unfair question for you, Glenn. I'll let you start, then I'll go to Dino and Duff.
Is it about deductions?
No.
Right.
That's
a change in tactic on Monday anyway.
Please, you ring customer service if you want to talk about deductions, all right? Three of the last four Melbourne Cup winners have come out of the Memsies. Did we see the Melbourne Cup winner on Saturday, Glenn?
Looking at those horses that went round, probably not.
Mm. Dino?
No.
Duff?
Surely not.
Yeah. All right. We'll take your thoughts on 13, 53, and 53.
Yep. When they went that hard, you look at the horses that figured in the finish. They had barriers 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm. Mm. I'll get back and cover the other races out of that meeting, but want to talk about the other significant race for the weekend. Firstly, Glenn, can we get an updated market on what you've done with Astern as far as the Golden Rose is concerned?
Yeah, well, just to be different, TK made another favourite for the Golden Rose after they won on Saturday. Astern now the $4.60 favourite for the Golden Rose. Divine Prophet is second pick at $5.50. Oh My Sword and Star Turn both $8. And they've probably got question marks over both of them. Then you go to Darren and Yankee Rose, both at 11. El Divino and Impending, along with Thronum at 15. And then the $26 line includes Saturday's winner, Liotti, along with Defcon, a Saturday winner in Melbourne, but he'd be probably doubtful to come back to Sydney.
Geez, he was good.
Yeah, he was.
God bless him.
Yeah, Mediterranean, he sort of, every possible chance, I thought, Saturday. And Prized Icon, who potentially could go up against Winks this week in a Wait for Age race at $26. And three-year-old into Wait for Age racing makes it a little bit different. You just get to see the usual suspects every week.
Adds a bit of interest, doesn't it? I like to see a few have a crack at it early. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. What price Nikitas?
Nikitas, it's a 50-1 chance. They go $26 and then 51 straight to that line. Good standing, Nikitas, Tango Rain and Tel Perio. And he was very good Saturday.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, it might be a touch of overs there. He's an improver. Chris has got him now. He just got shoved off the track there and kept whacking away, didn't he?
Yeah. Have they overreacted there? 26 is into 460. That's right, Glenn, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the question mark over Astern was whether or not he was going to press on to the Golden Rose because...
Well, that's still doubtful, isn't it? I don't think they've absolutely confirmed. I'll try and probably get that confirmed, but, I mean, it's obvious, but...
Well, there's reports this morning that they'll have, you know, at least three runners in the race, Astern, Impending, and Tel Perion, I think, and maybe, you know, one other, but...
I mean, it's a million-dollar race.
You've got to see when they come back. You know, Astern, you know, he's only lost the once, and that was in the Golden Slipper, and John said he had an interrupted preparation going into the Slipper. He bounced off that to dead heat with El Divino. Next run after the Slipper, he's then gone for a break and come back and won the run to the race first up Saturday.
They're both explosive horses, Astern and Star Turn. So I think in a Golden Rose, a barrier draw just to get that bit of cover would be very important, especially for those two horses. Just little queries on, you know, they just might be a bit too brilliant for the 1400.
All right. Now, I've got a little query here, Duff. Did my mate Tommy Berry get caught napping a little bit on Star Turn?
Yeah, a lot of talk about that.
Was there? Yeah, I had a vested interest, but...
A lot of people thought, oh, he didn't see the horse coming up the inside. He was waiting. Maybe he was thinking, well, I've got to help this horse run 1,200.
Maybe.
Because there was little queries going into the race. His two defeats were at 1,200 metres. I'm not going to buy into that one, but there was a lot of talk about it.
All right. Now, I thought... Star Turn actually responded quite well, and I thought the last 100 and the last 50 was okay, but you sound like you've got doubts there.
It was okay because, you know, Astern got past him. I think the sectionals were exactly the same the last 100 metres, so he did stick on okay, Star Turn, that last little bit.
I thought he responded pretty good.
He did. He definitely did, but as far as saying he missed the boat, I'm, you know, the horse was there to win.
All right. Glenn?
Well, I think it was a matter of Tommy thought he'd ping a lot better than he did. If you look at the way he rides Star Turn, he sort of held him. And when he went for him, he probably thought he'd put a length and a half on him, and he didn't. But the thing was, once he sort of then flattened out, it and Astern put two or three lengths on the rest of them.
Mm.
You know, I just don't think he exploded as quickly as a lot of people thought he would have. But, he still went very, very good.
That is true. Mm. He looked like he was just going to go how far, and then Astern crept up there on the inside, and maybe Tommy was worried about that 1,200 metres. Dino, your thoughts regarding Astern, the old Godolphin form line, had the favourite going to the Slipper at run near last and come out and win?
Yes. It's Exosphere all over again, isn't it,
yes.
Really? He was very good. Star Turn, interesting, he was ridden very similarly in the Blue Diamond Prelude down here in the autumn when... Flying Artie beat him. He was held right up until late, and Flying Artie had the momentum and beat him. I just wonder if it's a bit of a stable instruction to try and hold him for that last sprint. I'm not sure, but I really like the effort of Astern, and I think he'll run 1,400. I think he's in good shape.
He should improve off that, being first up, Star Turn second up. Duff, let's go through the others. Impending.
He was good. He was first up from a spell. He was
didn't have much room, did he?
Yeah, he's totally unfancied in the market. And he ran well, so he's an improver with no knock. El Divino seemed to have his chance. He led, but I still think he'll be much better at 1,400. He stuck on there late. I reckon he was just out-sprinted.
All right. Well, he's 15. I mean, he's been a boom horse, hasn't he? He's $15 at tab.com.au for the Golden Rose.
Yeah, it's probably around his mark. Yeah, it's about okay. his price. But I still think he's an improver. What he wants is a pace. He wants a pacemaker in this Golden Rose to make it a fast run 1400, so he can just sit on him and keep grinding away. With it'll just take the acceleration out of your start turn if he runs and a stern, because he's got a brilliant sprint on him as well. So that's what this race comes down to: how much of a test of 1400 it's going to be, or are these sprinters just going to sit on the speed and do what they did on Saturday?
What about the others, Mediterranean?
No, well, that was his chance to catch him on the hop. He had a fitness edge. He looked fantastic. He just wasn't good enough. I thought Nikitas was great. First run for Chris, and he got shoved wide there and just kept whacking away. Tessera needed the run. Good standing probably needed the run. So Telperion didn't look anywhere near ready. He's obviously had some little setback along the way because he was behind his stablemates. But look, on paper, the first two stood out just with their acceleration, but it could be a... Let's just wait to the final makeup of this field.
Sure, and just regarding that, Glenn, just 10 years, Astern is confirmed for the Golden Rose in 2 weeks. Star turn 50-50.
Yeah, I think that, as I said, I read a report of John O'Shea's comments this morning. Star turn, I think, is always going to be 50-50.
Yeah, star turn might be a bit like...
like the 1400.
Fresh it up for the Coolmore. Yeah, that's the big spruik race for the Colts, isn't it? Mm. So that could be... That's an angle they might want to take.
All right. 13:53:53 is the open line number. We'll take a short break, then come back with your calls. Text messages we'll get to as well. 0419-767-272. We'll run through the other major races from the weekend, but we're looking forward to hearing from you as well.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets, Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio. All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in the Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life. Betting ticket.
Available August 18.
Sydney comes to life this September. September at the Sydney Spring Carnival.
And they're off and racing.
Be trackside Saturday, September 10, when Group 1 Racing returns to Rosehill Gardens with the Debortley Wines Golden Rose Stakes. Cheer our best three-year-olds home as they strive for the lion's share of a cool $1 million. It's also your chance to splash your favourite silks and enjoy the finest hospitality. Book your tickets today at theatc.com.au. The Sydney Spring Carnival. Sydney comes to life.
All the glitters is at the Carlton Mid Wyong Gold Cup Carnival. This Friday, the glitz and glamour comes alive at Carlton Mid Wyong Gold Cup Day, featuring the $160,000 cup and the Mona Lisa Stakes, plus Central Coast Holden Fashions on the field with over $10,000 worth of prizes to be won. For more info and to book your Carlton Mid Wyong Gold Cup Carnival experience, visit wyongraceclub.com.au.
Ben has rung in with a message for a very special person.
That's right. This one's for Mark Geyer. Oh, I couldn't love a bloke more. With a 91 grand final on the line, he regathered Canberra's short drop out and set up the winning try.
That's breathtaking. It's easy to love a bet on the NRL. On your Tab app, online, or at your local Tab.
Tab. We love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Say hello.
Get your catalogue for the Inglis Ready to Race sale. The strongest collection of two-year-olds ever offered in Australia. 250 select juveniles showcased on grass breeds, ready to race and ready to win in your colours. Don't wait. Put in the winner's circle. Download the Ready to Race catalogue at inglis.com.au or on the Inglis Sales iPad app today. The Inglis Ready to Race sale. Tuesday, October 4 at Newmarket, Sydney.
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at
Sky Sports Radio 1.
I'd like to give a shout out too to Timmy Clark. Thought it was a good ride on sense of occasion there. I guess early on people thought, oh, he's wide, he's trapped wide, what's he doing? But the horse was travelling. Then I thought tactically Duffy rode brilliantly well with Allergic, the unlucky runner in that race. Singing was second and Magic Hurricane third. But thought it was a nice ride by Timmy Clark on sense of occasion.
Well, mid-race you would have thought, what are you doing here?
What are you doing there?
You've obviously had something on it.
But the horse was travelling. Yeah, but the horse was travelling.
Yeah. But look, he shoved the favourite. I don't think the people that were on Allergic thought it was a good ride, because when he straightened up, he made that move and just shoved the favourite straight back in behind them. And that was a winning move. So it was a good effort. Stablemate runs second there, Singing. I think both those horses are looking good for the Newcastle Cup. That'll just top Singing off now. He's an import that's not a bad type of a horse, and he's the horse I want to follow out of that race.
Right. Yeah, I think Chris Lee said maybe Singing just hit the front a little bit too early. A horse is travelling, not a horse in a pocket.
For a while. Two runs for Chris. Great.
He's having a great purple patch. He's always been good, hasn't he, Chris? Coming off a terrific season last year, and it looks set to continue this year as well. So we wish him all the best. Balmain, sorry, mate.
I was just going to say, Duff, do you reckon he was just a bit off the main stage, but that first race at Wyong, the maiden yesterday with Detective and Drakenfels might have some impact on the spring?
Oh, yeah. I think that second horse is all right. They let the leader
get away with murder,
his thing there. And the other horse, I think the second horse is the one I want to follow.
Yeah, I think they're both very nice horses.
Yeah, he'd gone all right at Kembla before that, Drakenfels.
He led there, or he was up on the speed. I think he went better ridden back yesterday with just the pace beating.
That's exactly right.
So that's a black booker there, Drakenfels.
Yep, for sure.
All right, we've got that down there. Put that in the phone. Hello, Balmain.
Yeah, DK, I've got two for Dino, mate.
Go, mate. Yep. Dino.
Yeah, Dino, I wanted to know where the United States is up to and what went wrong with Almandon last start.
I don't know what went wrong with Almandon. He probably didn't present that well in the yard. He went terribly, so I don't know where he's at. And I haven't heard where the United States is headed. I don't know if he's more on a wait for age path this time in, because he went well, but haven't heard. So we might have to get Andrew Bensley on the case there. He's very thick with that stable.
He's probably currently washing the cars.
Probably.
As we speak.
I didn't want to say that. Beautiful morning, Dan.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Where have you got the United States? It's the second favourite behind Winks in the Cox Plate, Glenn.
A $15 chance in the Cox Plate, so it's $15 bar in the Cox Plate. Now, so far out from the Cox Plate, you don't get markets like that. It's usually $15 the field.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you've got 6-4 or $2.50 Winks, and then $15 in the United States. Now, I don't know if the boys are listening or what's going on, but I'm looking at the system and tell you now, Blackheart Bart's $21, not $26.
Okay. 21,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so we've got United States 15, Highland Reel and Lucia Valentina 17, and I think she's going straight to Melbourne, isn't she?
Lucia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Blackheart Bar, Toss and Stardom 21, and on the $26 line, Hartnell, Oh My Sword, Tarzino, and Extravagant.
Okay.
Where does He's Our Rock Eye sit in the spring picture, Dino?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I wonder if he ducks up your way for the Epsom.
Okay.
Something like that. I'm not sure, but
he's proven successful at Randwick before.
Absolutely.
He's $51 in the Cox Plate, isn't he?
Yeah,
I don't know if he's a Cox Plate horse, but
yeah, I think in this campaign, I would think the Epsom and maybe the
Toorak,
or the whatever it is now, the Longines Mile or the Emirates or whatever it's called, would be a good race for him. So yeah, look, he kicked off well. So it was a magnificent ride. From the draw, I just didn't think he'd get in that spot. I thought he'd have to go maybe two pairs further back. But once he slotted in on the back of the favourite, Prince of Brooklyn, it was pretty much race over.
Under the Louvre, unlucky?
He
just
was.
Just couldn't get a cart in the race.
Well, he got on the back of Hellbent and Shiraz. You'd have thought one of them would have sort of quickened off the bend. And they actually were giving ground coming to the turn, and he's had to come off the heels really awkwardly and just speared that little bit wide. But, I mean, you knew that going in that he was going to be back. It was just getting the run at the right, getting going at the right time. But Red Zell was trained up for the day, and they just keep hitting the mark magnificently down here, the Snowdens, 2 from 2 on Saturday.
Yeah, it was good. DEFCON was the other one. And just with Red Zell, you thought Mark Zara, the fact that he has ridden under the louvre a fair bit, hasn't he, Dino? So he thought, if I'm on this thing, I know under the louvre's going to be charging late, I better make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, well, he knew where his main rival was going to be, that's for sure, and he certainly made... on the speed map, I thought he'd lead. I didn't think he'd lead that clearly, and he really ran along, and it proved a winning move.
It is such a bonus. Having a horse that makes its own luck.
Yeah. Any bias at Caulfield?
I didn't think so.
No.
I know a lot of the winners were, you know, fairly close to the speed, but I mean, we saw Defcon duck up the inside, the last winner down the outside, you know, wound up. I think the actual surface played fine.
Tino, you spoke about you didn't think Red Cell would lead that easily, but he led easily at Canterbury. They even revved him up basically out of the barriers in the trial the other day in an 800-metre trial and led by six there. Are they just now saying to themselves, well, this horse has just got to hit the ground and go?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about
definitely,
that. He, as you said, that trial was probably the indicator that they really let him jump and run. But I probably thought that, you know, one of the roughies like Sunday Escape, who's got good speed, would kick up, but they actually took a sit, and Miss Promiscuity was pretty conservatively ridden, and Domino Oasis without the blinkers wasn't as sharp either. So all of a sudden, that's how it changes around.
Okay, we've got a board full of calls, so let's get to them. Hi, Peter.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, Pete.
Sorry. Dean, first time I've spoken to you. Hopefully it's not not the last time.
Hold on, put 20 cents in the phone, mate.
That's it.
Yeah. Mate, I'm one of the lucky people that have got a hair and a tail of Urban Ruler from Hancock's Indication. I thought it went rather well last Wednesday in winning, and he's got it nominated for one of the big races down there in the springtime. What do you think?
I think he's a very good horse. I don't think leading suited him, but he still won, and I don't know where he fits into the three-year-old picture, but maybe is he going to go to Flemington or something Saturday week in a 1400?
That's right. Do you think Oliver's going to jump off him, or do you think he might try and...
I don't know. You wouldn't know that from day to day with jockeys.
Revolves are in the sling.
Yeah, if there's 800 of you, if you can just put the hat around for Damien, that'd be ideal.
So but, the ultimate aim's the Caulfield Guineas.
Caulfield Guineas, yeah.
150's into 35 so far, and I'm glad to say I've got a little bit of that.
Good luck to you.
Mate, he beat Peking Duck the other day. Do you have some of that when you celebrate it?
Mate, I'm allergic to Chinese after seeing PK and Mr. Friedman in the takeaway shop that night.
Good on you, Pete. Good on you, mate. I hope Urban Ruler does really well for you. You're at the pointy end of the competition, though. It's very, very tough, but there is nothing better than a winning day at the races and the Peking Duck.
Have you ever seen a winner go bad when you own it?
No.
Nothing improves a horse's chances like ownership. But, good luck to him. Don't rain on his parade.
I'm not raining on his parade, TK.
Absolutely not. He's a very smart horse. Right.
Yeah. Hi, Mitch. Good morning, buddy.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Well, thanks, mate.
Munns and Ron, you might have been on the way to the races. You may not have heard it, but the fella that follows you, Duff, on Saturday morning from Brisbane, his name escapes me. Did you listen to his tips at all on Saturday morning on the radio?
We have Bernie doing her tips.
Bernie Cooper.
You're not talking about very early Stephen Hewlett.
Stephen Hewlett.
Yeah, he comes on about quarter to seven.
From four tab.
Yeah, Ronnie's only just getting out of bed then.
Don't get me wrong, he didn't reinvent the wheel. He found, a $3.50 pop and a $2.20 pop. But he found some Sunshine Coast form. He confidently tipped two winners on the weekend. Mm-hmm. What's his background, boys? Obviously, I'm talking now, Mick Kick. He's a good... I've backed the two horses. They've come from the Sunshine Coast. They've beat two of David Van Dyke's well-found horses at their last start. He tipped them with that much confidence, and they won like good things.
He found Ringo's a rock star in the first train by Whopper Stevens. That was one of them?
I think he found Daryl Hansen and Still Ryan.
Is it at Doomben or yesterday at the Sunshine
Coast? No, at Doomben.
Yeah.
At Doomben.
He's a good judge.
Stephen works for 4TAB, but he also does work for Sky Channel. Sometimes you'll see Stephen hosting from the Sunshine Coast on a Sunday.
Okie dokie. Yeah. That's where the Sunshine Coast form stuck through. Yeah. Martin, I've got one for you, and I know it's off limits. And I know you're not allowed to talk about it.
Monsieur Gustave was one of those he would have tipped. That was Daryl Hanson's. I think it was a massive advantage to be on the speed in the shorter races at Doomben on Saturday.
It's an understatement.
Okie dokie.
Yep. And Mitch, you'll hear him at 6:45 every Saturday morning, Stephen. And he's on the case every day. He's at 4TAB.
He's been involved in racing all his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barnes, I've got one for you. As I said, I know it's off limits. But
deductions.
It's not deductions, but it's not.
Righto. Land officers, the other.
I've backed the two winners at Brisbane. I've ran up the tab.
Yeah.
I've done some Maruya form for Sunday.
Right.
I've found an emergency.
Yeah.
In the third race.
Yeah.
I knew the horse was going because the guy from Warwick Farm took another two horses there.
Mm. Right.
$8.
Yeah.
Ran up there, had me money on as a fixed odds price, $8. Now, the next morning, a horse is scratched in the race, but I'm an emergency. Do deductions still apply to me, even though
yes,
I've ran up there and backed it over an emergency?
But it will depend on what price the scratching was and what price the emergency is that replaces it. I know that's going to confuse a lot of people, but say, we'll put it this way. There was a horse in Brisbane on Saturday that was fifth emergency and was favourite.
Yep,
okay. You know, so it just depends on what price. Say your horse is an emergency, and we've marked it an $8 chance, for example.
The horse that was an $8 chance.
Right? The horse that is scratched is a $10 chance. We won't take a deduction for the $10 chance because it's being replaced by an $8 chance.
But if it's a 5 to 2 chance. But if it's
a $3.50 chance, we'll take a deduction, but the difference between the $3.50 and the $8. If it's a $26 chance, there'll be no deduction because a horse at such a shorter price, it's coming into the field.
Well, the money was right. It started at $3.80 and Jake, he couldn't make the weight and it tailed off. So it didn't matter in the long run.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, good job, boys. Guy from Brisbane, as I said, good mail and good listening and well done. Good luck for the spring.
Good, Mitch. Well, 6:45, Stephen Hewlett on the Saturday morning.
I think he comes on straight after Tony Brazel.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. And we're talking about Maruya. Yesterday pulled the right rein there, Robert Price. He scratched Lead Me Astray from the Tab Highway. I know it's a $60,000 race, but he managed to run in a Class 3 there, only a $20,000 race, but he got the chocolates.
All right. Let's keep taking calls. We've got plenty of them. Hi, Kev.
Hi, mate. I've got one for Dean Lester also.
Go.
It's a Dean Lester fan club this morning from the sound of things. Ever since So You Think, I've been a real High Chaparral fan. I've been watching out for horses, of course, when Bart introduced him to the world. What a fantastic horse. And when I saw Arctic Eagle, I thought, this is going to be the next So You Think. But after his previous Melbourne season, he was spelled and then resumed in a race at Morpheville a few months ago.
Yep.
And he was a very short price favourite. In fact, I think he might have even ended up odds on. And in the commentaries in the morning, basically everyone was talking about what was going to come second and third. Well, he ran ingloriously. It was absolutely terrible. I thought, well, never again until I see him do something. In the Memsey, he was third favourite yesterday. He got on the tail of Blackheart Bart, and I thought, if he's going to do something, this is the day. He just ate Blackheart Bart's dust. And, he looks like Tarzan, runs like Jane, honestly. Do you think, Dean, that maybe he might be ready for the most severe gear change of all, to turn him into perhaps a Kingston Town?
Well, he's a five-year-old. They're leaving it late to be gelded. Look, I want to judge him at Flemington. I thought he trialled a lot better going into Saturday's race than he did before Morphettville. I was totally against him that day because I didn't think he trialled very well at all. But he, as you said, he always looks in magnificent order. But I still think his best run was at Flemington in the Guineas, and we'll see in 2 weeks where he's at. But, at the moment, it's a bit of style over substance for me.
Right.
Well, I was a bit surprised, too, after the Morpheville run, that I listened to the program, and there was no comment at all about his inglorious run. You know, I thought, for a short price favourite, I was waiting to hear what somebody would say about it, but nothing was said. So
I was on holidays.
When he turned up in the Memsey, I thought, oh, OK, well, I'll just have a look. But, all right, we'll wait for Flemington and have another look.
One last go at Flemington, Kev, by the sound of it. Stick solid.
Yeah, Dino, do you think in that race the other day, we said at the start that a lot of horses seem to go no good because, well, they get off the bit that far from home, they've got nothing left.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was one that was actually on the bit, Alpine Eagle. And I would have thought he'd have just gone home that little bit better. I just think, his run was adequate, but not with the flashing light on it. Palantino was probably four lengths off him on the turn and beat him home and looked more underdone than Alpine Eagle. So I think when they get to Flemington, Palantino will beat Alpine Eagle again, and then they've got to come up against Blackheart Bart anyway.
Yeah. I love this one, the Wok. Dean. always listening to your tips, but I've been following Ocean Embers this prep, and she is killing it. Why no love, says the Wok.
I thought she'd be last and have a lot to do in a slowly run race, and guess what? She was last with a lot to do in a slowly run race, and she did it. So that was the no love.
Yep.
I just thought she was under the odds.
I thought there was an unlucky one there, Tilopia.
Yeah, she had to duck and weave through traffic.
Never really got any clear room.
It's funny when you do these, you know, you do the speed maps and you see a race with no speed off and everyone sees that and something takes off. Well, nothing took off in this race. They just went so slow. And it was probably that Ocean Embers had the clear air down the outside. As you said, Tilopia back to the inside, not a lot of room and luck there. And Don't Doubt Mama much in the same boat. And a case of what might have been with Jessie Bell, who ran second last. She was just travelling, but absolutely nowhere to go, and in the end just had to ease right out of the race.
All right. Let's keep taking calls. 13 53 53. Hi, Anthony.
Oh, good day. Just wondering with the panel thoughts on the solution to the number of scratching on Saturday mornings
with the heavy track.
With the heavy tracks, you know, after a bit of rain, you know.
Do you have one?
Well, you won't get any interviews with any trainers if I give it to you. Maybe have six highway high handicaps.
Yeah, I mean, just if your horse isn't suited, if you owned a horse and it's not suited on a heavy track, should you be forced to go around? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think in a way maybe they should.
Yeah, but then they'd just be, I don't know, I don't think that would be a good look somehow. Anthony, horse is just not, well, I'd say not trying because, you know, they just can't handle the going. They'd be dropping out everywhere.
Yeah, I think after a while they get used to the heavy track, so
No. I think a wet track duffer, always a wet track duffer.
Well, there was a horse like Rose of Man on Saturday. I was very, very surprised that it actually ran on Saturday. I made it the horse to follow here last week off its run at Randwick. Saturday on a heavy night, I thought it had zero.
Yeah.
And ran accordingly.
Correct.
Really got heavy track form. And other times, they've got pretty good, what you seem to the eyes, having pretty good wet track form in a suitable race, and they're scratched.
Yeah.
And different tracks are different wet. So trainers would be aware of that. Like, you know, when we get a genuine heavy at Sandown, that's bog heavy, and yet sometimes we get a heavy 8 at Flemington, and that'd be, you know, like a soft 5 at Sandown. So
trainers have got so many options now as well. Yeah, you know, they've got options here, there and everywhere. Look at a case like Antonio Giuseppe there. He was a late scratching 25 minutes before the race there on Wednesday because it was a heavy 10. He runs him on a heavy 8 there on Saturday and he gets the money. But I think their theory probably made sense. He had 60 kilos on a heavy 10 on the Wednesday.
It was bottomless at Warwick Farm on Wednesday because it was just raining.
We're only talking a couple of points in the ratings, though. It was still a heavy track. And but in the old days, they wouldn't be allowed to run him.
No, but a really wet track at Warwick Farm, as Gino just said then. Well, I was surprised we got back to a 7 on Saturday at Rose Hill, listening to what everyone was telling me.
It looked all right.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it
was. Well, Rose Hill at the moment is our best track.
We don't really have an idea on what we should do, what should be done.
The answers are a pineapple. In Hong Kong, you're not allowed to scratch on wet tracks.
But they only race Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, Sunday, sorry.
Yeah. I think there's other countries as well, though. I'm not sure about you. I think Japan might be another one.
Well, put it this way. If the trainer thought the horse had a hope, it's in the race. They're not scratching if the horse can win.
No, obviously not. Obviously not. Or sometimes, you know.
So, the way the punter's protected.
Yeah, I know. I've heard trainers get interviewed and they've scratched their horse. They said, in reply, they say, well, I thought I had a bit of shit in a fortnight's time. That to me makes sense.
Well, they're all trying to put their horses, Anthony, where they can win.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's the.
You keep yourself in the best company and your horse is in the worst.
Yeah, sure.
You might not have a look at that theory.
I tried to get the other way around.
Yeah. A little bit. Good on you, mate. Well, okay, well done, Anthony.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing. No skullduggery there. They're just trying to do their best. Shannon says, impending guys for the Caulfield Guineas. Thoughts?
He'll keep improving. Caulfield Guineas horse there on Saturday, Evacuation. It was only a field.
What?
Yeah, look, he was the first horse off the bit there, and I thought, oh, you're in a bit of trouble here, son. And he
found
dug,
another gear.
Yeah, he dug in. He'll run a mile. Don't worry about that. We're all worried about the 1400 after only 1,000 meter trials or 800 meter trials and 1,000 meter race last. But she was proven right there, Gay.
What about a horse like Archives for the Guineas Tough that had that light preparation in Brisbane, trialled well at Randwick recently? Is he in the second wave that might get towards?
Well, there's a lot of second wave horses there, isn't there? They're still to come. I reckon it's the best bunch collectively of 3-year-olds. I think. I hate to get this rivalry thing happening again, but these Sydney 3-year-olds are colts.
Oh, they've got panels on us. That's got, not the, even the risk.
Some exciting colts, aren't they?
Yeah,
in particular.
Just hope, you know, we can get a price down there in Melbourne, that's all. But this, when they arrive, I'm sure everyone will take note.
A couple of quick ones, if I can. Morning, guys. Can you ask Dino if he thinks Tavago's scratching on Saturday will hurt his spring campaign? That's Nico from Newey.
I think he's going to run this Saturday in the Dardo, so no.
Well, yeah, you've going, don't you?
Yeah. And I mean, it was just they lost a tooth on Friday and didn't eat up Friday night, so they can wait till Saturday. But he'd have to be going Saturday, and then he can go into the young. He'll be fine.
Any confirmation whether the tooth fairy arrived?
Well, they had a good day on Sunday. Trent Sutton and Natalie Young yesterday at Cranbourne, a winner and a placing. So maybe it did.
Now this is a horse we hear about all the time on this program. Thoughts on Tall Ship towards a Cups campaign, Steve from Wollongong. This is a Kurt's horse, isn't it?
Yeah, Kurt's horse. He was playing on Saturday. I know that Darren Weir, I was actually talking to him just before the race, and he expected a lot better run from him, and he didn't get it. So, yeah, I don't know where Tall Ship's at the moment. He's got to lift pretty quickly.
Quick one for Glenn here. Glenn, what was the reason Astern had doubtful in fixed odds betting for the Rose? There must have been some substance behind it. Winx should have been doubtful next to the QE or the Queen Elizabeth last autumn.
Well, as I said, I thought there was talk a few weeks ago that Astern wasn't going to the Golden Rose, and that's the only reason we put doubtful next to them, if we have indications from the stable.
Yeah, sure.
That, you know, that may not be on the radar. And Winx didn't have doubtful next to the Queen Elizabeth because it was going to Queen Elizabeth and it ran in the Doncaster the week before.
Oh,
yeah. Well, and they only made the decision to run in the Doncaster on the Tuesday before the Doncaster.
You put doubtful there to actually notify the punter that
there is some sort of
horse is in some doubt. So don't have a bet if you're not prepared to take that risk.
And Stern doubtful on it on Saturday, so that must have been taken off.
Well, let me.
Should Omo Sword have doubtful next to her in the Golden Rose? You know, is that a question? You know, like she's. I see Bowman's been booked for the.
Look,
furious.
You know, in the honest department, without blaming the tab for absolutely everything, if you're having a bet all in, there should be doubtful next to every horse.
Of course, yeah.
You know, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's a dangerous. Yeah. You'd like to have a heads up that's heading that way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Well, I think we had doubtful next to evacuation. And I think you'll find now evacuation's been taken out of the Golden Rose market completely after the stable made a comment yesterday that it will not be going to the Golden Rose.
Yeah.
That's all we can go on.
That's right. And that can change.
Yeah. Well, it's still nominated until the next level of acceptance and it doesn't pay up. Well, it could still go there, even despite the fact they said it won't be going there.
They can come out, have a good gallop on a Tuesday morning, Duff or Glenn, and, you know, think, oh, well, we're back in the hunt here. We might change our mind again or whatever. Mm. It happens all the time.
Then you get to the drama. It's happened before where we've had a horse in and the connection said, no, won't go. So you take it out. And it comes to the next level of acceptance or whatever, and they pay up for it again.
Yeah.
Mm. And you say, well, hang on. Oh, yeah, we've just left it in there. Just put it back in.
Yeah, keep them open. Quick one here. Dino, who's going to beat Palantino in the Kybe Diva?
Blackheart Bart.
Yeah.
He'll make up a lot of ground on him, but he's got a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah, just the pattern, distance, race conditions tend to suit the horse up on the pace making luck. Should be, I'm not going to deductions. I find it boring. I find it really boring.
Yeah, good
one. I haven't answered one of them for a week, so.
We'll get back to the open line. Hi, Daryl, good morning to you.
Hey, g'day, mate, how are you?
Yeah, well, thanks, mate.
I just want to speak to Dino, mate.
Yes, Daryl.
20 cents.
Dino, a couple of opinions, if you don't mind, mate. A couple of horses that went around in Melbourne, one being Del Prado,
Yeah.
And the other Manhattan Blues. I thought Del Prado was a little unlucky.
Yep, definitely.
Probably should have finished closer. But what did you make of the runs of both, Manhattan Blues as well? We got sort of hung up out wide for a long time, but stuck on Echo.
Yeah, he did. Del Prado was a good run. I don't know where he sort of fits in at this time of year. That's the only thing. Races are going to get sort of harder at 1,400 metres. They're going to be stakes races, but he's going well. And Manhattan Blues, well, he drew wide and he tried to get in and nothing much really happened for him. He ran okay, but again, this time of year, it's hard to find the right races for those sort of horses. They're both going well enough for the, if they're in their right grade.
Yeah, no chance of winning a week sort of spring race, autumn race with them?
Certainly, yeah, if they can find the right sort, like Del Prado's a welter-class horse. If he doesn't have to run in a listed or Group 3 or something, he can win. And I think there's another one of those races that Manhattan Blues ran in at the meeting at Caulfield in about 3 weeks. He'll go there, and that'll be his probably his last chance for a little while anyway.
Yeah, sure. Also, I want to talk about Caitlin Mallion. By geez, I think she's such an underrated jockey. Would she be the next Melbourne Cup winning female jockey?
You never know.
She's for Lloyd Williams.
Well, she's got a good attachment there, and she rides well. And her absolute strong suit is front runners. She rides them just beautifully. She just doesn't go too slow. She rolls along, and that's what she did on Great Esteem on Saturday, and that's how she won that race.
Yeah, no, she's a fantastic judge of pace, and she's she rides the stays well too. She's very patient. She's I just think that she's very underrated and underutilized. It's just a shame that she. For some reason, she can't seem to get as many rides as she was getting. She seems to get a few ordinary ones along the way, as they all do, but it's just a shame to see such a good talent not getting the opportunities.
No, I don't disagree.
Good on you, Darryl. We do thank you for your call. We can squeeze Bill in before we get the ones to follow. Can we quickly do that? Hi, Bill.
G'day. Terry, how are you, mate?
Well, thanks, mate.
Just a quick one for Dino. I want to know about Darren Weir's horse, Gloria Cinder.
Yeah.
Planning on running it in the Melbourne Cup or not?
No, won't be.
Oh, it's not, eh?
No.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say that categorically, but I think it's actually gone for a spell. I think it's been over the jumps of late, and I think it's...
That's right. Yeah, I know that, and I just wondered what he was doing with it.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably... Yeah, I don't know if there's any more jumps races left, but...
Oh, thanks, mate. And TK, big thank you to Paul Casey for Mandalong Kiss on Saturday.
Yeah, oh, well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on
good
you.
Stuff.
Yep.
Paul Joyce.
Yep. He tipped it on Tab Talk on Saturday morning.
Yep. It was a good price too, wasn't it?
Oh, it's only 20-1.
Yeah. Yeah, he can come up with them.
He's a beauty.
Paul. Thanks for that. Now let's get the ones to follow before we've got five double passes for the Wyong Gold Cup. Always a good day this Friday. If you make it to Wyong, if you can't make it, please don't call because they are double passes. If you can, thanks to David Jewell, the CEO of the Wyong Race Club, call now on 13 53 53 for five double passes to the Wyong Gold Cup Day. Quickly, Dino, horse to follow?
El Moonkith ran midfield in that Great Esteem race. Geez, he powered to the line. He looks fantastic.
He did.
He'll win a good staying race this spring.
He did. Duff?
Looking ahead to the Newcastle Carnival, I think His Majesty's looking good for the Cameron.
Is he? Yeah.
And singing might be hard to beat in the Cup.
Yes, good. And Glenn, you got one?
I agree with Ronnie. I spoke to Ronnie straight after the race. I thought Nikitas went enormous for those sort of lower tiered three-year-old races. And don't sack Rose of Man. Just back him when he's on a dry track.
All right. And mine was Tilopia out of that final race in Melbourne. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Duff. Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, mate.
Beauty, Tigers.
That's Punters Postmortem. Thanks for everybody calling as well for the Wyong tickets. And thanks very much to David Jewell for his support. And have a great Wyong race day, the Gold Cup Day, this Friday, the 2nd of September.